Good evening. Today is May the 6th, and we are studying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter step is step three, how it works. And our speaker tonight is Dale K. from Connecticut. Thank you, Dale. Go ahead and share with us.
Okay, thank you. Might want to start my video. Thank you. Yeah, I just got knocked myself off the meeting and rejoined a moment ago. So God is looking out for me, I guess. My name is Dale. I am from Connecticut, and I'm grateful recovering a compulsive overeater, and very glad to be alive, very glad to be breathing and living today, which I can only thank, God, as I understand God and this program without any question. I came into the program about 42 years ago at age, wait, it might be more than that. But in any case, I was 30 years old. I had over 300 pounds, morbidly obese. I had looked in a mirror, saw myself, and really thought, I am going to be this way the rest of my life, and it's going to be a fairly short, miserable life. I was really wondering if I was going to live to see 40. I like to say now that without this program, without the spiritual solution offered in this program, I would be 6 feet wide, 600 pounds, and 6 feet under. There's no question in my mind. If I was still breathing, I would not have a life worth living without this program. I had been to about a half, three or four maybe OA meetings about a year before I came in and started on February 1st, 1981. Totally spooked by all of the God stuff. It was the end of the 1970s when the Moonies were very, very prominent, and anything that's talked about God to me just seemed like it was, they're going to throw you into a van, cart you off into the mountains, and somebody's going to have to come rescue you to deprogram you. I was very, very, nervous about anything related to God or religion. I had not been raised in any religion, so I had nothing to resist, to resent, to reject, or to rebel against. But I also had very kind, good, decent, loving parents who just did not believe in God and felt like religion actually caused a lot more problems in the world in terms of hatred and prejudice and wars and so forth, and said, when you and your sister grow up, you can choose any religion you like. I had an attraction toward the spiritual, but it did not make any sense to me. Looking in the mirror that day, I remembered a speaker that had, I could just identify with that one person I remembered, that experienced a miraculous transformation. I went back, to what I, consider the beginning of my recovery, a Sunday afternoon meeting. At the end of the meeting, when they said, "Does anybody have anything to share?" I said, "Well, I heard something last year about sponsors. I don't really know what a sponsor is, but I guess maybe I should ask for a sponsor." There was a fellow that volunteered. He came up. He was able to show me a photograph, of him 80 or 90 pounds heavier, and he was now looking completely fit. And he said, "What I'd like you to do is 30 questions, readings, and writings in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And each day you will read and write, and then you'll call me and we'll talk about what you wrote. And also you need to choose a food plan to follow. Out of the dignity of choice, I chose a food plan." And the first assignment was to read Bill's story in the AA Big Book. And I have to say, that was the day my life turned around 180 degrees from dying to living. If this can be seen, this is the Big Book that I got that day. If this can be seen, that's the 12 and 12 that I got that day. The assignment was to read Bill's story and write a history of my own compulsive overeating. I had no problem identifying with alcohol. I didn't have to substitute anything. When it talked about being helpless, hopeless, doomed, I could just completely identify with it. The place where it really made a difference is, I don't know if you're going to be able to see this. Whoops. went to a big book study meeting for about the next 15 years, but let's see. I don't think you could be able to see it, but right there where all the big stars are. Yeah, this is very hard to see. It says here, my friend suggested what then seemed like a novel idea. He said, why don't you choose your own conception of God? Right there, then, at that moment, reading this, before I read the rest of the story, I just sort of had a breakthrough and had to just pray for help because I was dying. I did not need a conception of God. I needed something that would float because I was drowning. Did the first three, those 30 questions, talked to my sponsor, lost about 100 pounds in the next 10 months, and he moved. I never really went on into the fourth step. And proceeded to figure out I'm a good person to live the type of grandiose, unrealistic, immature life I wanted to live, and accomplish something very big and then flop flat on my face again for another big relapse, gained half the weight back. That's when I realized, for me, this is not a half-assed three-step program. It's a 12-step program, and that I needed to take the inventory and go to more meetings and so forth. What happened was gradually I started to develop more of an understanding of what this power was for me. And as I started I lost 100 pounds again in about 10 months, looked in the mirror, saw this thin person, perfectly fit. Instead of being overwhelmed with a gratitude for this miracle that occurred of transformation, my bottom line on the inventory was, Dale, you used to be a fat, lazy bum. Now you're just a thin, lazy bum. Because I did not want to grow up, I realized, was part of the biggest part of my problem. And my compulsive eating started in my mid-teens. It was not a problem of any significance earlier. It really sort of came on a little bit late, and it was totally in terms of coping with the demands and the stresses of life and school and academics and other things. Don't need to go into those details. But when I started, I went to a big book and a 12 and 12 study meeting for probably the next 15 years. So if I had to read this literature as homework, I'd be dead. We read it out loud. We highlighted it over and over. We talked about it, and I sort of absorbed it through my pores. And as I started to sponsor people, what I would say to them sometimes was, if they were confused by the God idea, or annoyed, or scared, I would just say, well, if the notion that God is love makes any sense at all, then you could say God as I understood him, her, or it. And if the power itself is the power of love, then the power is actually more of an it than a him or a her. I'm very comfortable with the God word, and in some way far beyond my mental ability to comprehend. I think there's something to that, but I need no conception necessarily of God as a being. But I absolutely am clear for me that the essence of that power is the power of unconditional love itself. And for me, the essence of the recovery is in making a third step decision. I can translate that into practical terms to say I make a decision to devote my life to the intelligent practice, meaning that it's conscious and deliberate and intelligent practice of patience and kindness, tolerance and unconditional love for myself and for all others to the best of my ability in everything that I want, think, feel, say, and do. Dr. Bob Smith, the co-founder of AA with Bill Wilson, said in his last talk, our 12 steps, when simmered down to the last, resolve themselves into the words love and service. Not just the words, the actual power of love and the actual expression of that power through service is the essence of the 12 steps when they're simmered down to the last, as Dr. Bob put it. And for me, that is really the key, the essence of turning my life and my will over to the care of this, I could say, good as I understand it, or goodwill as I understand it. There is a spiritual power of love and goodwill that is deeply rooted. In the big book, it says, we have found the great reality, capital G, capital R, deep within. Ultimately, that's the, that is the only place, and it says, where he can be found. If it just said it, let's say you're getting warmer, because that great reality in spiritual terms really is the power of love. It's a spiritual energy. I think deep.
10 minutes.
I'm sorry?
10 that was, minutes.
That was 10. Okay. Wow. I didn't realize I had so much more time to talk. I had been going on already for at least 30. So the essence of that step is surrendering everything in my life that is an obstacle to the practice of goodwill, kindness, and love, and caring for myself and for all others. So when I turn my will over to that power, the essence of it is that I'm willing, over the care of love. It means if I practice that love, if the actions I take are based on goodwill, I can trust that will be better, for me, and for anyone else, that I need to interact with in my life. Right now, I'm going through a process of looking at even more deeply at some of the character traits that existed before my drug of choice kicked in my mid-teens, and I became a hardcore sugar addict and compulsive overeater. And I'm really looking right now. I'm working on the seventh step with a sponsor, and really sort of looking at what is the difference between humility. The seventh step is humbly ask God to remove all our shortcomings. And what's the difference between humility and humiliation? Well, to me, I thought pride or arrogance would be saying how wonderful I am, and humility would be admitting all of these devastating character defects and weaknesses that I have had, and that are still, to some degree, difficulties for me. I'm coping and functioning much better than I ever have, and my food has been free of that sugar and carb compulsion for 4.5 years. And I'm very actively involved in programs and in service in the other ways in which I live my life, but can still be washed over by sort of waves of negativity, doubt, pessimism, a lot of the wreckage of the past that I'm now still excavating at these deeper layers is overwhelming. Some of the things that I need to do now in my life feel like, I lost 150 pounds. This feels like 10,000 tons in terms of the impossibility to some degree. But I know that change is possible, and that if I keep taking positive actions, doing these small little things one day at a time that are good for me and others, it has to start first with the food and the recovery from the sugar addiction. I did have a long period of relapse on and off for 8 years, where it was really the insanity of it of compulsive overeating really came home to me. Saying is, I was doing something I did not want to do because I wanted to do it. And I wanted to do it more than I didn't want to do it, and I really didn't want to do it. I said, wow, this is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And what I learned to do in that period of relapse was to stop kicking myself, shaming or blaming or guilting myself, no matter what. This practicing unconditional love means there will be conditions. Certainly acting out and being in the grip of that powerful compulsion was a really big condition that I could call myself all kinds of names. And I really learned to practice, I don't do that. I will settle for being baffled. This is cunning. It's baffling. It's powerful. I'll settle for being baffled. That's good enough. And I knew that this too would pass when somehow I saw a path forward where I could be in alignment with goodwill, God's will, as I understood it. And that has gradually started to happen. And it's been 4.5 years now that I've been free of the sugar and carb compulsion, and my weight is at a normal, good, sort of healthy weight. And and that's a gift of this program. When I look at, I didn't really realize, I didn't sort of pick up that this is kind of a big book study meeting, and I'm very grateful for the fact that I got introduced to recovery, with the big book and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of AA. But I'll tell you, I really, really, really have come to love the OA step book. It is really powerful, and I think it hits the nail on the head in many ways much more clearly and accurately in terms of what this power is. The first page, the introduction to our 12 step and 12 traditions book, says in OA we don't have diets and fads and gimmicks, etc. We have something much more powerful. In OA we find and share the healing power of love. And to be, again, that is the essence. If I am willing at any moment, and let's say it has something to do with I'm going to eat this, or I'm not going to eat that, or I'll eat something that's healthier than something that's that would be harmful to me. If I'm willing to make that choice, even just right in that moment, it doesn't matter what I did yesterday, and it doesn't matter what I'll do later today, but just right in that moment, I'm willing to eat something that's healthy for me, not harmful. I can't even, we say sometimes act as if you believed in something, fake it until you make it. Well, if I happen to make a healthy, good choice for me, I can't even fake that without tapping into the actual power of love itself, because I care enough in that moment to make that choice. There's nothing fake about that. It is the real power, because I'm willing to do it and make that choice. And if I make some other choice, then I can tap into that power to at least stop kicking myself. There's an expression that says, is the glass half full or half empty? I also like to think, is the glass half full, half empty, or is it lying shattered on the floor in a puddle of water? And if I am not watching what I'm doing and walking around barefoot, I could say, is the glass, lying shattered in the floor in a puddle of water and blood, except for the piece that's stuck in my foot? So I, that would be saying, wow, I really made a big mistake there. That was a big boo-boo. But then let's say I've got this, piece of glass in my bloody foot, and I kick myself in the butt so hard that I break my toe. I now have a cut foot, a broken toe, and a black and blue butt. When am I going to stop kicking myself for a mistake or an accident, or even worse, for doing something deliberately that is harmful, and I know it's harmful, but I want to do it more than I don't want to do it? I'll settle for just being baffled sometimes by that, and know that one day at a time, there's a notion of harm reduction. I'd rather eat a bag of apples than a bag of donuts if I had to be still compulsively overeating. Anything that moves in a healthier direction is good and better. And this is all about progress, not perfection. If we're human beings, perfection is, it's an human perfection is an oxymoron. Just like junk food is an oxymoron. It is either junk or it is food. It cannot be both. So, food is something good. Thank you. Food is something good, healthy, nurturing, and comforting. And to enjoy our food is part of how we are made. It is wonderful to enjoy our food, and it's good for us. And the food for thought and the food for the soul also are things that are good. So if I, devote my life to the intelligent practice of patience, kindness, tolerance, and unconditional love for myself and for all others, I really am tapping into a very deep source of inner peace, a very deep source of inner power, personal freedom, and enduring joy. I can't control anything outside of myself and what I choose to do, but when I remember that vow.
Gentle time.
Thank you. Seek to practice that vow in everything I want, think, feel, say, and do every day, one day at a time, one breath and moment at a time. Miracles slowly happen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dale. That was beautiful and a really powerful share. I appreciate it. We will now open the meeting for questions or for 3-minute shares. As this is a big book study, sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and step being studied this week. We ask you to accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under reactions, or *9 if you're on the phone. I will call the raised hands in order, and the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. With the timekeeper, please set a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when time is up. If the speakers ask a question, please allow 3 minutes for the answer. Anyone like to share? Ian, please share with us.
Hi, y'all. ENF, compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here. Thank you, Dale. That was a beautiful share. I needed that calm. I needed that calm. And I also grew up with parents who were very loving and supportive, and they didn't really push me in any religious direction. And something that I find is really helpful about that to me and my identifying as a compulsive overeater is that I'm not coping with anything. I mean, I can always find something to cope with, like something wrong that I can be, but ultimately, like I am mired in this particular way. And so reading Bill's story and seeing how he acted and then going, okay, I'm not a 40-year-old man in the 30s, but I do act like this in my own way. And it's not because there's, not because I'm the victim of something. It's just how I'm wired. That was really helpful. But the talking about a conception of God that is just love, I have struggled so much in the past, I'm going to say month, in not kicking myself. And I forget what you talked about, which is that, like, God doesn't want us to kick ourselves. It's not helpful to me, and it's not helpful to anyone else to lampoon myself for having a character defect, for having an emotion, for working through things imperfectly, which is what all human beings do. And I really appreciate that. Part of my connection with the higher power is what is the next loving thing to do? I'm not supposed to fight anything or anyone. So what is the next thing I can do that is not a fight? What's the next surrender that I can make? It's just that over and over and over again. And I really felt that in your share. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ian. Natalie, please share with us.
Hi, thank you, Claudine, and thank you, everyone. I'm Natalie S. in Arizona, compulsive eater. And Dale, I just really appreciated your share. I've lost you in my Hollywood squares, which will have my eyes going everywhere. And I know people say that a lot. But anyway, I was sitting here chuckling as I'm doing some meal prep when you talked about kicking yourself and you'd be black and blue and sore and all this. And I thought, what a great analogy. Those types of things just really help me remember the difficult things and to laugh at myself, because I can find so often I get so stinking serious about everything that I start spiraling, you know, and I'm really grateful for these steps. I also really have I have been struggling with going back through and really surrendering to this higher power. For me, it's a Christian God. I was raised in a Christian home, but went through a variety of religions, and you know, that's a similar story. But the idea that God is love, or higher power is love, period. Just some days I can accept that better than not. And I wondered if you would speak a little bit about your experience with fear as it relates to trying to work through to get back to that love. I don't know. I just wake up and in the morning, some days there's a lot going on in my life. A lot has gone wrong, and I either fear what's coming, fear what I don't have, or, you know, and so if you could just speak a little bit to your experience with that. I'm relatively new coming into the program, the end of 2022, so I'd just be grateful for that.
Okay, thank you. I would like to apologize. I've knocked myself off this meeting twice, going into the chat and then thinking I was closing the chat and actually somehow closing the meeting completely. So, Natalie, I heard the tale and most of what you were saying, that it's, you know, the idea of the higher power. I like to call it the higher, greater, deeper power itself, you know, and I don't mind calling it God, but you know, even if you know, there was a supreme being, conscious God, him or her or itself, shit happens, and I don't think it has anything to do with love. Or God's will, as I understand it. You know, for me, I like I could almost call it the definition of God's will from the 11th step, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry it out. So, if let us say you know there is some people that are on their way to an airport and they get stuck in a traffic jam and they're really scared, pissed off, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's horrible traffic jam. They miss the flight and somebody on standby gets on the flight and the plane crashes. So does that mean the family that got on the flight are somehow being punished by something? Or that the family that missed the flight is somehow being saved by something? Personally, don't think so, and I don't think either way. Earthquakes, landslides, war may have a lot more to do with goodwill or God's will than natural, accidental things. But in terms of fear, I guess just sort of trust that if I do as best I can, what is, you know, feels right and sane and good and healthy, that things will be better. The actual process, and the day that I go through and the outcomes will be better than they would have been if I allowed myself to be driven by your fear to either avoid things or try to manage or control or manipulate or be in conflict with people based on fear. So, if you're new, to the program, I would just say, that the process of identifying, the fears that we have is certainly a part of the fourth step inventory, and the process of really sharing them and examining them, sharing them honestly, with yourself, with God as well, and God with another person, you know, can be part of that, you know, healing process of just operating more from some faith and trust than fear.
Thank you. Mindy, please share with us.
Hi, my name is Mindy. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you, Amy and Claudine and Abby and everybody else who's helping in the meeting. And Dale, I came to the meeting today for some reason. I do like this meeting, but I have, you know, worked trying to finish working my steps. And I have a problem with the idea of God. And I know it's not me. And I loved just hearing your take on it being love, or what is the next loving thing I can do that is right? I grew up in a family, my parents did believe in God, and I went to Hebrew school, but it was more of a punishing God. And there were some people that were, you know, I had some issues with the rabbi. So he did not have my best interests at heart. He set me up with my husband, who had major problems. So it has, you know, nothing to do with religion per se, but it does. It was just meant to be to come here and hear you. And I just love the idea of listening to you talk about believing in a higher power. I'm not being very, I'm not, well, I'm sorry, we're recording too. I'm verklempt, I guess. Words aren't coming to me right now, but I really just was so happy to hear you. And I just wanted to thank you.
Thank you, Mindy. Lacey P., please share with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you, Dale, for your share. I'm Lacey. I'm a compulsive overeater. And gosh, I just love this meeting so much. I was walking during most of the talk, and things kept popping up to me. And I just, things that I knew my higher power was sending me through your talk, and I just so appreciate it. Like, I relapsed recently, and I've been really hard on myself about it, which has never ever helped me get back into the solution ever once. And I was reminded of something when you talked about, you know, what is the next loving thing I can do? That early in my work with my sponsor, I made a food choice that wasn't in my best interest. And as I so often do, let that just be my excuse to harm myself with food. And she said, you could just call me and say, I think I ate something I shouldn't, you know, like we could just talk about it. And I was like, oh my God, you can do that? I didn't even, like, you mean I don't have to just completely destroy myself? And then I was reminded, it seemed like everything you said was sort of also what I needed to hear about, you know, the opposite of addiction is connection. And that is a huge missing piece for me. I am really struggling with the ability, like giving myself permission to need you, to call you and say I'm struggling and not feel like I'm a burden, I guess. So yeah, I agree with so many other people have said it, like it was just such a share about unconditional love and kindness to ourselves. And when I'm kind to myself, I can be kind to you and I can get right back on track and I don't have to hurt myself anymore. I'm so grateful that I never think about leaving, that I know I belong here. And this meeting is just a real gem. So Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lacey. It is now time to stop the recording for unrecorded questions or shares with the Zoom host.